kinds of cardboard boxes.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It loses its value if you take it out of the packaging.
Hey, packaging peeps, it's Valerio Montes on Package Design Unboxed. Today, we're talking to Michael Napoli of TerraCycle. We're going to cover 2 points today. One is, how do you work with TerraCycle? And two, we're going to get into reusable packaging. What does it really mean? And how do you do it properly? There's so many different ways that brands are framing reusability that from a consumer perspective, you're not really adding a lot of value. So let's kind of dig into what it really means and how you can actually add value and make your reusable packaging truly reusable. Now, this is going to be a quick episode. This is part three of a four-part series. Guys, I'm super excited to bring this to you guys. There's so much information in this TerraCycle series that I just wanted to break it up into four. Any questions that you guys have, reach out to me or reach out to Michael Napoli from TerraCycle. Let's get to the show.
Before we get to reusable, let's say I'm at a cosmetics brand and I'm launching a new product here in the next 6 months. Really, before I begin designing or at my early stages of designing, I should be reaching out to TerraCycle. If you're a partner that I want to bring on, right? If I want my packaging to be recyclable through TerraCycle, I should be talking to you at the design phase to go through, this is what I'm thinking. These are the materials that are going to be in this packaging. These are the components. One, in your experience, have you seen a way to simplify this, to reduce the number of components, to reduce the number of materials? And I'm assuming you would have feedback for me as a designer to say, yeah, there's a different kind of pump. You can use this material. You can use this type of plastic for the lid, or however you kind of break that down for me to help simplify the number of materials and components in my final pack so that when that product arrives at TerraCycle, you'll already have a plan to recycle it. You'll already have the waste streams in place. And I'm making this all assumptions based on this conversation. I could be totally wrong.
No, I mean, you're doing an amazing job. So I would say, absolutely. For anyone that's looking to partner with TerraCycle, reach out to us first. We have an amazing team. Of course, we're global. We operate in over 400 cities and over 20 countries. And I would say, call us first, reach out to us if you're a designer, because we can let you know generally what we see in cosmetic waste streams. And we can let you know how those are broken down. And yeah, based on that, we could give feedback on, what we would recommend. Based on capabilities and market demand, we can make recommendations on how to modify these materials for sure. And luckily, there are a lot of packaging companies out there already making this move with, 100% polypropylene pump products in the cosmetic industry. So it's something that's already starting to go on, which is amazing. But I would say feel free to give TerraCycle a call. And we will absolutely partner with you from the ground up to work side by side with your operations, your packaging design team, your marketing team. We will absolutely be there on every step.
Awesome. And if you're a brand and you've got a product, let's stick with the cosmetics, right? If we've got this cosmetic product and it's got 15 different components in the packaging, if I'm working with TerraCycle, are my fees relative to the number of components and how difficult it is to separate everything? Like, how does that work? Like when you work with TerraCycle?
So there's definitely a few different means of collection, right? So we have our brand sponsored waste boxes, which is where a brand will sponsor the program and it makes it free to the public for collection. Then we also have our zero waste boxes, which are broken down by program, which people can pay for individually on a residential or business basis. And those are also solely dedicated materials, or they can be commingled materials. Really with any type of, let's say MRF operation, the more you're sorting, the more it's driving up costs. you know, to think about it that way of, you know, the more there is to go through, it'll just, you know, correlate on the cost level as well. You know, also due to the nature of like the complexity of some materials too. You know, when you start looking at impregnated plastics and materials as well, it starts getting a little more complex. But overall, if you're talking like a simple, you know, cosmetic stream, which is, you know, majority your rigid plastics, a little flexible, so again, it's, you know, more of a simple sort between something else where, you know, like our all-in-one boxes, which are absolutely amazing to use. You can literally throw pretty much anything in there within reason. You know, we don't accept any hazardous waste. That's a whole nother regulatory animal to go through. But we do have a division of our company, TerraCycle Regulated Waste, that can help in some instances there. So I would say overall, yeah, depending on the type of waste that's coming in and the complexity does play a little bit with the price, but our goal is to really work with companies and brands to, you know, make everything you have fully recyclable and to do our best to make sure we keep everything out of landfill as best as possible. So yeah, again, everyone should feel free to give us a call, let us partner with you and work with you and try to work together to find a means to do so.
You were talking about reusable packaging and trying to move into reusable packaging. A lot of times I hear brands designing packaging with this reusable claim around it, but it's not, it is reusable in that I might receive a box in the mail, but I can turn it into like a cat house, right? Like a house for my cat, or I can reuse it to sort my drawers and then put my socks in this box now instead of just in my drawer. It always seems like a, that seems like a kind of like a cheap way to throw out that reusable term. But a lot of times people aren't using their packaging this way. It's just going to landfill or getting thrown in the recycling bin.
Yeah.
When you're talking about recycling, sorry, when you're talking about reusable, you guys have Loop, which is amazing. I definitely want to hear that. But then also, like, how far back does this reusable go? Right. It's not just that reusable packaging for the consumer. There's
right
logistics. I guess, can you explain how Loop functions and how far back that goes?
Yeah. So everyone remembers the milkman, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, this is a concept that has been around forever, has been implemented forever. And, you know, I shouldn't say forever, but for an extremely long time. And as a matter of fact, this concept was not foreign. Even, you know, there were reusable means, you know, back in the 30s and 40s, even for some soft drink manufacturers had means of reclamation and reusing bottles. So this is it's not something that isn't, you know, that's so foreign. It's just a matter of, you know, how is it well implemented? And over time, you know, we as consumers became addicted to convenience and ease of disposal. So, yeah, I mean, the concept's been around. So I would say as far as Loop, Loop has been around now for, you know, for a couple of years. And really the concept is very similar to the milkman, right? Like we have reusable packaging that could be used over and over and over again. We, you know, have it brought back to our facilities to be properly clean, sanitized and put right back out for reuse again. So it's not something where, you know, you're necessarily, you know, meant to just like keep it to use it for something else. It's more of like a circularity where we're constantly feeding the same packaging through a closed loop system to really solve a means of limiting production in consumption and landfilling.
So I receive the product, I go to the store, I pick up the product, then how do I get it back to you? What's that process like for a consumer?
Right. So there are drop-off points that are noted. You could even, you know, go onto our website to find those drop-off points. But typically, you know, even someone like Burger King, for instance, who, you know, we've worked with, who we've launched with, you know, they have all of their reusable packaging that they're using at locations. Again, you could check on website or even the app. Now we have an app for Loop. So you would either be there, you know, dining in, and then you have the packaging that's there that you just leave there and it gets, again, sent back to us and cleaned and sent back to Burger King. Or if you're taking it, again, Burger King's acting as a drop-off point to bring those materials back to. And again, it's still brought back the same way. So that's the concept with any of our loop partners that we're working with, that, you know, there are drop-off points that are noted for these types of materials. And for these programs.
And if you're a designer out there wanting to begin designing reusable packaging, I guess, what should you be considering?
Well, I mean, depending on the product, I mean, first and foremost is aluminum, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's the easiest one to get to recycle and has a huge positive impact for reuse in manufacturing. You know, it's something that could be cleaned and used over and over again. But even, you know, if it ends up in recycling in a MRF and to be added to that supply chain of aluminum to be smelted and reused, it's a lot more cost effective for companies to use that. So aluminum is definitely one of the greater ones to start with, as well as polypropylene and PET and HDPE, all of these ones that are easily collected curbside and sorted. It can be reused very easily. So looking at it from like a more wide range perspective of, you know, what are the high value materials that MRFs wouldn't want to go to landfill, right? So even if something slips through, you know, there's a good chance it's getting collected there. But if you're working in a system like Loop, where we have products that are meant to be, they're designed to be reused, multiple times to go through a closed loop system. That's where you should work with, is really, partnering with brands that want that type of model and figuring out, okay, how can we make this work? You know, if we have a collection point set up in store at other locations, do we have a mail back program for the reusable packaging? Really establishing that and, you know, what type of materials will work for their products.
That's it for the show. Thanks so much for joining us on Package Design Unboxed. If you have any questions, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always available for questions. Once again, check us out at packagedesignunboxed.com.